Good morning, and welcome to After Deadline. My name's Kathleen Strecker. I'm the editor of Coast Weekend at the Daily Astorian. And whenever I come on this show, I try to get guests on here with me who are working with young people in our community. And so I am very happy to have today Pam Pierce. And she is a recreation coordinator with the City of Astoria, the Parks and Recreation Department. So welcome, Pam.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Yeah. I'm very happy for this opportunity this morning.
It's great. Well, there are some big things going on with a lot of recreation opportunities, and I want to let everybody out there know about them and kind of find out what's going on.
Sure, that sounds great.
Especially around Halloween, because that's a youth-oriented holiday if there ever was one.
It is, absolutely. It's one of our favorite times, one of our best events that we can throw out there is the Monster Bash.
Exactly. Well, before we get into all of that, sure. I want to find out a little bit about you yourself. So
great.
What is your background and how long have you been in Astoria?
I've been in Astoria for about 10 years. And, I've never worked in a recreation position before. So I just kind of fell into this position, which has been great. But I am the mother of two small children. And so before that, I was a stay-at-home mom. Just okay. Looking to get back into the workforce.
Mm-hmm. And so you just applied for the position there? And
I actually had applied to, through Seaside Temps. That was the agency. So I was a temporary admin assistant for the Parks Department.
Okay.
And then things just kind of took off from there.
Got your foot in the door, right?
I did, yes. It worked out well for me.
Excellent. Well, I know that there's a lot of changes going on with the Parks Department now. And so this is a good time to be in on all of that, I
sure.
think. So what does a recreation coordinator do? Is there more than one of you or...
There is. So we have three recreation coordinators, and each recreation coordinator kind of takes a certain age group. So, for instance, Erin Riley is a recreation coordinator, and so she handles the Lil Sprouts daycare, and she also handles the Port of Play activities. And then I do all the youth, teens, and tweens, so that would be sports, recreation classes. And then Tara Patterson is the adult coordinator, so she does the adult, sports, and adult rec classes.
Okay. Yeah. So then you all just work together and put together the schedule. And that sort
we
of thing.
Do, absolutely. And so every time there's a special event, like for instance, Monster Bash that's coming up, all three of us kind of get together, collaborate, review what went well last year, what didn't, what do we want to do different this year, if anything at all, and how will that go? And then we all kind of take little pieces and put it together.
Okay. And how long have you worked with the Parks Department?
For about 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So you know what's going on and you know from 1 year to the next.
Yes, I do.
Great.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Okay. So what is a typical day for you like? Get to the office and what's ahead of you?
Well, I just sit down and respond to all the voicemail and email requests, which really aren't too... That's not too strenuous for me because I like to contact people back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a lot of planning for the future. What types of activities might we like to do? I do some research on that. I also have some staff that works for me. So kind of scheduling, managerial, troubleshooting, that type of activity. And then sometimes I do get to step into some activities and help lead them or just kind of be there to observe.
Yeah, okay. So this was going to be my next question. Do you have any activities that are solely your programs, or are you just kind of behind the scenes?
I am mostly behind the scenes, but I like to interact a lot with the parents and the students. So I really enjoy stepping into the after-school club in the afternoon and kind of see what's going on, maybe get hands-on with some of the homework activities or the crafts, just kind of be an extra helper. Yeah, but I have a great staff that works for me, so they are really good at keeping the children challenged and motivated.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So where's your particular office located?
So I moved. I used to be at the Aquatic Center, and now I'm at the ARC. So the ARC stands for Astoria Recreation Center, and that is at the old Star of the Sea School building on 14th and Grand.
Okay, cool. So now do you have use of that entire building?
Pretty much. The Shooting Stars Daycare utilizes some of the classrooms in that space. So we are kind of co-sharing it with them. But for the most part, like, we have the gymnasium and we have a lot of the classrooms that Star of the Sea used to use.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Okay. And so tell me a little bit about how you got that space. I know, like you say, it used to be Star of the Sea School and they closed down last year.
Right.
And so how did the city get a hold of it?
Well, you know, we kind of saw it in the newspaper, basically, that the school was closing. And so we just talked to Father Ken and kind of started some dialogue, and it kind of took off from there. It's kind of the same scenario that we did over at Gray School. You know, Gray School is now the administrative offices for Astoria School District, but there were still some space in there that could be utilized for some type of function that relates to children and families. So we just kind of followed the same model.
Yeah, okay. And was there any like grant money involved in getting this, or was this all just a straight out purchase from the city?
Well, actually, we're leasing the space.
Oh, okay.
So it's just we're renters, basically.
Great. All right. Yeah. So what all do you have on offer there?
Well, we're excited that we moved our adult fitness to that facility. We have a new studio with nice reclaimed hardwood floors that we can do a lot of different classes now that we didn't have the capability to do at the Aquatic Center.
Cool.
We also were able to move our studio cycling bikes mm-hmm. to that facility and purchase some new studio cycling bikes because we didn't have as many as there was demand, especially in the high peak months.
Right.
Of fitness. So then also incorporated into that building will be an adult lounge. So that will be a place where adults can kind of come and relax before or after classes.
Okay.
My after school club moved in there. And so that's also where we'll have a lot of youth oriented activities. And then we are really excited to announce that we are opening a teen center in
Excellent.
That facility.
Wow.
So there, and it'll hopefully be online this week, and there'll be a new spot where teens and tweens can go and kind of just chill and be themselves, you know?
Oh, everybody's been saying they've needed that forever. And there have been a few things pop up here and there, but
you know,
hasn't been permanent. So, well, that's great. So with the after-school program, is it set up to where kids can get on a bus at their school and then come on the bus to Star of the Sea or the
That's
old
exactly
Star of the
what
sea?
They do. So mm-hmm. we have children that come over from Astor Elementary and we have children that come over from Lewis and Clark. So they get on the bus at the school and then they come straight to club where then we have them for about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
We do lots of stuff with them.
Do they get to ride a bus home from there or
no,
parents?
No, then parents come and pick them up.
That's convenient. Yeah.
Very
and they
convenient.
Get homework help there and school help too?
Absolutely, yes. I'm a big stickler for getting our homework done before we do a lot of playing. So we've really been focusing a lot on reading because I feel like that's really important. So the children do read for at least 20 minutes a day by themselves. Some of the lower grades, first graders can typically read their level of books. But kindergartners, we read to them if we have a group of kindergartners. We're also, I'm very a stickler for having them study their spelling words. All children get spelling words, have a test by Friday. So we have a lot of that kind of stuff written up on our board. And then they get special incentives if they get 100% on their spelling test. So
great.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, it is.
So what sort of renovations did you have to do to that space to make it usable?
Well, you know, really what we did is we kind of just gave it an inside facelift, whereas we painted. We've been painting a lot. So just kind of that kind of helps give it a fresh look. We went through and cleaned the carpets. So that kind of gave it, freshened it up a little bit more. And then the one room that I was describing earlier, that's a new studio for fitness, we found some reclaimed hardwood floors that had been in the basement of the senior center for years. They were all warped. And so we had a contractor come in for us and install those. And they finished it, and it looks really nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Does it have, like, the wall of mirrors and stuff?
So we do. Yes.
Very cool.
It's a neat spot.
Everybody
who comes in is really in awe.
What kind of classes do you have in there currently?
Well, let's see. We offer BOSU. We offer a cardio kickboxing class. We offer Zumba and a yoga class.
Wow.
Those are our main ones that we offer in that room.
Sounds good. And that's more than you could offer there at the Aquatic Center,
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
So what's happened at the Aquatic Center, since that we don't use that other little room for fitness, we've expanded that and we've added 12 new weightlifting type features.
Wow.
So now we have a bigger weight room at the Aquatic Center.
Excellent. Well, good. So, and then the gym itself, you painted in the gym?
No, we didn't paint the gym. Actually, we haven't done anything. The school had just had it refinished, which so it looks beautiful in there. And we really didn't need to do anything. We just have open gym times where people can come and shoot baskets or play soccer. Do whatever with their children.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right. So talk about what kind of programs you're planning for the rest of the year. We'll get back to Halloween here in a minute. But what can people look forward to, like, say, from here on out through the end of the school year?
Well, one of the neat things we wanted to do this winter is launch a futsal league. So that's a variation of indoor soccer with a weighted ball. Because we thought that that might be good segue for children who are just finishing up soccer now. They can come indoors and play, so kind of keep up on their skills. The teen center, of course, will be a big hit, I believe. So there will be a lot of people visiting that. One of the activities that we just recently started was roller skating in the gym. So I'm so excited to bring roller skating back to Astoria because so many people have said, please bring it back.
Right.
So how that works is we purchase some skates, some good quality roller skates, and then we rent those out for $2 a pair. So people can come and they can skate for the whole 3 hours on Saturday.
How cool. Do you have the mirror ball and everything?
No, not yet.
Gotta have the mirror ball.
We should do that.
For sure. Excellent. Well, so, and about the teen center, let's go into that a little bit more. What all, what are activities are there?
Well, we're going to have video games. So those are coming. We also have foosball, ping pong, a dart board with rubber darts. And we had donated to us a huge slate pool table. And then we're going to have furniture around, beanbag chairs, some futons, some stuff like that. I'm working with a group of teens from the high school who came in and met with me, and they're kind of going to take a leadership role with that room. And it was very exciting because we met and they were able to pick out what kind of color scheme they wanted within reason. And I was also very happy to announce that Meredith Payton from the AmeriCorps, she's an AmeriCorps volunteer in town, she has come on board to help me out to reach more of the teens and tweens.
Excellent.
To get them into something where, you know, they're indoors and in a safe spot.
Good. What kind of food is going to be available? Do you have anything like
you know,
food
we
for
have
sale?
Concessions up in our office. So it's just candy bars, fruit. We're going to have drinks, like energy drinks, water, soda pop, fruit juices, stuff like that, that they can purchase.
So good. So place they can hang out. And
they can have their snacks and do their thing.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. So so we've got that coming up. Any other youth activities that you're in charge of that, that you know of that are coming up in the next few months?
Sure. Every year we do our Breakfast with Santa. So we're doing that again this year. And instead of doing it at the Elks, we decided to move that specific activity over to our preschool facility that's at Gray Elementary, Port of Play. We really thought that would be a better fit because that's typically the clientele that visit Santa. And so we plan to use that facility for that. And I think it's going to be a great event.
Good deal.
After Christmas, we always launch our father-daughter dance, which is very popular. And that'll be at our new ARC. So we'll hold the dances there. And last year, we started doing a mother-son luncheon because we felt like the moms and the sons were kind of left out. So we'll do that again this year because that'll be back. There's a lot of demand for that specific activity.
Excellent. Yeah. And then you have Easter egg hunts, right?
We do. We'll have Easter egg hunt at Tapiola. It's way too far in the future to judge what the weather will be, but we're hoping for a nice day so we can get out and get those Easter eggs.
Very good. Okay, cool. So, all right, now we got the big one coming up this weekend. We got Halloween. So tell us about the pumpkin carving event that's coming up, and that's tonight, right?
Yes, it is. So it's tonight from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. over at Port of Play. So that's at Gray Elementary off Alameda. The price is $4 per child. Children should bring their own pumpkins.
Okay.
And this is, again, a family event. So it's children and parent. We will provide all the tools necessary to do the carving in the space. And also we will be we'll provide paints. There'll be snacks and music. So we're kind of hoping it's the time when the family comes out and does all their carving of their pumpkins all together.
Very cool. Do they get to keep the pumpkin seeds if they want them?
They could, yes, absolutely. That's a great snack.
Take them home and roast them. It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's good.
So it's really, it was a good event last year, and I think we're going to have a lot more children and families come to it again this year. So we're very excited to be able to accommodate that.
If you're just joining us, this is After Deadline, and I'm Kathleen Strecker with Coast Weekend of the Daily Astorian, talking with Pam Pierce from the Astoria Parks and Recreation Department. So we are talking about Halloween plans. We mentioned that there's a pumpkin carving event tonight And that'll be at the Port of Play. And then we've also got the Monster Bash coming up, and that's on Monday. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so tell us all about that for people who don't know what that is.
Okay, great. Well, this is a very successful event we've had over the last several years for our department. And what we do is after downtown trick-or-treating is over, which I believe runs from 3 to 5, then starting at 5, families will be able to come up to 14th and Grand to our new center, Astoria Recreation Center, where we will have booths set up so they can there's a cakewalk, the library will be there, and then we're going to have some other spooky little booths set up with some texture things for kids to touch and experience. We're also, the Rotary comes in and they provide hot dogs for us, and then we have popcorn and then soda pop. And then during the evening, we will have a costume contest.
Okay.
So we have some age categories there, and we'll be handing out some prizes.
Very cool. So the purpose of it then is just a safe place for kids to be so they're not out running around the streets. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Because, you know, Astoria is so rural that a lot of times it can be a challenge finding a good place to trick or treat.
True.
I know a lot of people utilize Coast Guard housing,
which
is also fun, but then it's also fun to go to some of these events. And I think that really coincides with what Astoria Parks and Recreation is all about. We really want to bring the community together and provide a nice spot where they can kind of go and celebrate the holiday with us.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And so the Monster Bash is free, is that
it
right?
It is. It's free.
Free for everyone. Free hot dogs. Everybody hear that?
Yeah, free popcorn, free Pepsi products.
And it's for families, right? So so there's going to be a different feel to it this year since it is right downtown there in the at 14th and Grand. In the past, it's been out at the fairgrounds. So I know there's maybe pros and cons about that because I've taken my kids out to the fairgrounds many years when they were smaller, and it's much more self-contained there, of course. You can't just leave and walk out. You know, you have to be driven out there. And so in that way, it was almost a little more secure because you couldn't just, you know, couldn't just roam around, I guess. Right. Are there any concerns about that with the Monster Bash being in the middle of downtown this year? Are you expecting, like, especially older kids to just kind of come and go?
Well, we'll be monitoring that situation. And, you know, I think that it'll actually be better being downtown because I think the accessibility will be better for those people that might not want to get in their car, load up the kids, and drive them to another place, get out, and have a Monster Bash.
Right.
I think this will be better in the sense that it will let people go downtown and take their time trick-or-treating, because I know me as a parent before, I've always been in a rush. Come on, kids, hurry up. We have to get down to the fairgrounds for the Monster Bash. So this way, maybe people will be more relaxed and be able to know that it's close. I'm assuming if the weather is good, that people will probably just walk up. And I think it'll be a great event.
Do you know estimated how many people usually come to the Monster Bash?
It's usually several hundred. Yeah. We've never done an official count. Some years we pass out goodie bags, and that's kind of like our gauge about how many people are there.
So. Yeah. It's well attended, all that's for sure.
It's a great event, yeah.
Right. Okay, so now this costume contest, I got a personal investment in this one because that's been my thing when my kids were little up until about age 10 was I would make them their costumes. And we'd start in August, and I'd say, okay, start picking out your costume now.
Right.
And by September 1st, they had to have it picked out, and then gave me 2 months to make it. And I made them the greatest costumes ever, and we were down to the details and authenticity and stuff like that. I mean, my my daughter wanted to be, let's see, what was it? Barbie Rapunzel one year when that animated movie had just come out. So, you know, we watched that movie over and over and over to get the dress just right.
Right.
You know, just the right colors and the right patterns, blah, 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 all this stuff. So, you know, we put a lot of work into these costumes and the kids were so proud of them. And then we would go to the Monster Bash. And then it was, you know, the costume contest was judged on crowd cheering for each participant.
Yes.
So my kids would stand up there in these gorgeous costumes and get a nice little polite clap from the audience. And then the kid with the ripped t-shirt and a Wolfman mask had brought 50 relatives and got some cheers, and he would win, and my kids were just crushed.
Yeah.
So
I can understand how that would be. Yes.
So my question to you is, have you ever thought about having like a little panel of, say, celebrity judges, you know, get the mayor in there and maybe somebody else and have them give the prizes?
I think that would be a great way to run it versus a shout out, because I can understand, and I know I've been on stage And it, yes, that does happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be a good idea to do in the future.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's my call out to anybody out there listening who would like to be a celebrity judge.
Right, exactly.
So call up Pam at the Parks Department and volunteer your services. There you go.
There you go.
My kids are too old to participate now, so I have, you know, no right. conflict of interest here.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, I would love to see that because it's so fun to see all the costumes mm-hmm. and see what people come up with. And so I'm still searching, actually, for a costume for myself and my husband. I don't know what we're going to be this year, and time is really running out.
It is.
Typically for me, you know, taking 2 months to make a costume, and
right.
I'm really feeling it here. So we'll see.
You might be the ripped out t-shirt.
Yeah, it may be.
You could be. Yeah.
Well, good deal. All right, so we've got Monster Bash. Now, you say the Rotary Club provides the hot dogs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you have other businesses that sponsor parts of it?
We do. We're very fortunate in that respect. A lot of businesses step up to the plate and help us with that. So a couple of the bigger names that have donated a lot this year are Seaside Providence Hospital,
mm-hmm.
Clatsop Distributing, the Columbia Veterinary Hospital, Bank of Astoria, Warrenton Auto Marine, and the Clatsop Community Bank.
Oh.
But there are lots and lots of others, and we're still accepting donations. Some people donate their time. Some people donate in the form of money. Some people in product.
Nice.
So it's a great event in that respect.
Very good. And I know in years past you've had somebody taking pictures. Is that going to be part of it this year? Or
you know, it is not.
Okay.
We didn't have the resources this year to do
sure.
that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. All right. So anything else you'd like to say about the Monster Bash or the Halloween activities coming up that people should know about?
Not really. I think I just want everyone to come out
mm-hmm.
to our new facility and see it and experience what Parks and Rec is all about and just have a great time.
Great. Are any other parts of the building going to be open for people to kind of tour or are you going to
You know, we probably will hold some tours
okay.
if there's interest.
Mm-hmm.
But on a segue to that, the most important date coming up is November 22nd, and that is when we have our official grand opening of that facility.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we're hoping that will be the time to really showcase it.
Great. Yeah. So what all is going to be involved in that?
Well, we're still putting together the details, but of course the mayor will be there and the city leaders. And we're going to have some type of a grand opening for an hour where people can come in and there'll be snacks provided and then they'll be able to kind of experience all the rooms and mm-hmm. see all the activities that we have to offer.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So if you had an unlimited budget and unlimited time and resources, what kind of programs would you like to see the Parks Department be able to offer?
Well, let's see. I think there's a big need for offering more recreation classes for the youth
mm-hmm.
that are not sports related. There's a lot of youth that don't fall into the traditional football, basketball, baseball type mm-hmm. of category. So I would like to see maybe some different sports being offered. Like, for instance, we're going to do the futsal.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to see some different recreation classes offered for youth, like such as music,
mm-hmm.
perhaps. This summer, I was successful in running a video game design course
oh.
for a group of teens and tweens, and that seemed to be a pretty big hit. So I'd like to see some of that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like to see some book clubs, some more cooking classes.
Oh,
we
cool.
did some cooking this last summer in our summer camps, and that was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
Just some, you know, I want to follow kind of like nationwide trends,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's happening, but I would like to offer you know, just try to get a little bit more width in our program offerings.
Yeah. Now, how closely do you work with the schools, if at all? Do you kind of try to coordinate what your offerings are based on what they're doing?
Yes, exactly. We have discussions about that quite often.
Okay.
We work well with the school. We have a great relationship. So if there's some type of cutback in a certain program at the school, then we're more than happy to pick up that ball and kind of run with it, so to speak,
wow.
to help make that a possibility
mm-hmm.
for some children. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So, okay, so tell me a little bit more about these summer camps. I know it's a long way off,
right,
right in between seasons, but what's that involve?
Well, it's actually not too long off because we are going to start writing those programs here in the next month because we like to be really early on our summer programming because
wow.
that's kind of our time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the programs were successful last year, and so I think the ones that were, like for instance, Lego engineering, the Lego classes seem to be a huge hit.
That is cool.
So we would like to get into that a little bit more. One of the things that picked up steam last year was our offering for teens and tween classes, and so I would like to continue with some of those themes. Some of those themes were, for instance, Camp Extreme. We took the students kayaking surfing, and we did go-karts, and we did lots of horseback riding, lots of cool extreme activities that they might not normally do, kind of to get them outside of their boundaries.
Nice.
Yeah, I just really, I think that we have a ton of work to do with the teens and tweens. The youth, they come, the littler kids, the kindergarten through fifth. We're pretty good with them. We kind of know what they want, but reaching out to the older ones.
It's always a challenge.
We want to get to,
Right. So when you say teens and tweens, what kind of age range are we talking
about? So when I say that, I'm thinking like sixth grade through senior in high school.
Okay.
So we have the middle school group and we have the high school group.
Gotcha.
Last year, I spent some time at both middle school and high school doing focus groups with some of the students. So I really got to know them a little bit better and kind of the things that they might like. And so hopefully we're going to be, now that we have the new recreation center, we'll be able to accommodate some of that. Some of the students have expressed desire for more dances. So I think we're going to be offering those more.
Good deal.
And yeah, just all kinds of fun activities they can do.
Yeah. Anything else surprising come out of the focus groups? Something maybe you weren't expecting?
Two things come to mind. But then when I looked back, I thought, okay, that makes sense. The first one is that middle schoolers and high schoolers don't want to be at the same events at the same time.
Okay.
So they would like, the middle schoolers actually would love to be at the high schoolers, but the high schoolers, not so much with the middle schoolers. So that seems okay. And then the next thing is a lot of them base their financial decisions around the price of a movie. They all know that down at the Columbian, I think they'd get charged $4. And if they want to go to the Gateway, it's like an $8 ticket. So that's kind of how they work their lives. That's how they run their personal finance. I thought that to be rather odd.
Yeah, but standard, huh?
Not so much if you're a kid. That is probably, and it seems like transportation doesn't slow them down. They always find a way to get where they want to get want to get there.
Yeah, I'm surprised. My daughter's in middle school, and they walk everywhere. I was like, really?
Yeah.
I guess we're used to having the option of not walking, but they don't.
So. Right. They think nothing of it, which is great.
It is. It's good for them, as long as they stay safe. So,
right.
Good deal. Okay. Well, anything that we haven't touched on so far that that you think the listeners need to know about the new Parks and Rec department?
No, just that they should come check us out. They should go to our website, astoriaparks.com. They can call our office at 503-325-7275. We are really trying to make great programs, and we love input. If anyone has a suggestion or something that we're not offering, we'd love to hear about it. So that we can see if we can do something like that.
Yeah. Now, if somebody had a brilliant idea for a class or an activity, would they be able to come on board and have you, have them actually be the teacher of the class and you set it all up through your department?
Sure. If circumstances were such that we could do that, we absolutely would explore those options.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the main Parks Department office, is that now at the Yacht Club currently, or is that somewhere else?
No. At the Yacht Club is just City Hall.
Okay.
The finance, HR, those people. So we're kind of spread out now. So we have offices at Gray School. We have offices at the new facility called the ARC. And then we still have an office at the Aquatic Center.
Okay. Great.
So they can come to any of those offices, ask any questions. Our staff is all trained to answer a variety of questions.
Very good.
Good.
All right. Well, wonderful. I thank you very much for being on the show, Pam.
Thank you.
I hope everybody has a great time on Halloween and makes it out to one or the other or both activities.
Yes.
And we will talk to you next time.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.